Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Chaf Hey. We're going to pick up 5 lines from the bottom of Tashma. Just wanted to acknowledge our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Tammuz, which is Uncle Mike Holtzman. Thank you, Uncle Mike. Okay, we're in the middle here discussing a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about whether you can be makdish a sada during the Shemitah, during the Yovel year or not. We talked about the fact they also argue about sale, but here we're talking about Hekdesh. So ask the Gemara, Tashma, come in here. It says in our Mishnah, V'lo Golin Achar Yovel Pachus Mishana. So it's saying, and that we're not Goel after the Yovel less than 1 year. So Bishlam Shmuel. So according to Shmuel, it's easy to understand how we're gonna read the Mishnah. So Rashi explains, what does that mean? That it's telling you, Kamash Malan, Rashi says, Masnisin, the Mishnah tells us, the Mishnas Yovel Atma, Imektisha, Ain Tsarchli Gol, the like Kacho. So what he's saying is, Logol in Achar Yovel Pachas Mishana, he's saying is, during the year of Yovel itself, once you pass the point at the beginning of the Yovel year where fields go out, he says that if you were to be makdish the field during that year that follows, you would not need to be poded because it doesn't work. So we say, okay, that's a good way to understand the Mishnah according to Shmuel. He says, El Rav, my Acher Yovel, my Acher Yovel, let's see what this is. Take out the word. My Acher Yovel, in other words, what does that mean that the year after Yovel, you can't be Gaul? According to Rav, the count for Geula starts, as soon as Yovel hits. Someone could be Makdish a field and then they have to be Podet. So what's this idea that you can't do it after Yovel works for within the first year, you can't be Gaul? So the Gemara answers, that Rav would tell you, Misavris Acher Yovel Mamish. Do you think this means that after Yovel, once we hit the period of Yovel, that you can't be poded for a year? He says, My Acher Yovel, no. What does it mean when it says that you're not goel after Yovel, you're not goel the field for less than a year? Pachas Mishana says the Gemara, top of Chafei Amad Aleph, Be'emtza Yovel. It's not talking about literally the year after Yovel. It's talking about any point during the Yovel cycle. And so what's its point? The kol kama de lo malyale shana le migrale. And when it says that you're not goel the field in less than a year, it's not saying less than a year after Yovel, it's saying you're not goel the field in increments of less than a year. Pachas mishana, that you're not, that if 20, 30, 40 years into Yovel, that you only calculate in full years. You don't calculate in partial years. So that's what it's telling you when it says Vlogol and Acher Yovel Pachas Mishana, is saying that after Yovel hits, when you're able to be goel the field, you're not goel it for anything less than an increment of a year. So says the Gemara, Mike Mashmal, what are you telling us? Dein Mechashrin Chadashin Hekdesh. You're telling me that we don't count months for Hekdesh. So says the Gemara, Habehedya Katani, Ein Mechashrin Chadashin Hekdesh. So we learned in the Mishnah yesterday that we are not mechashiv chadashim with hektish. What does that mean? So that tells you as follows, that let's say Rashi uses the example that if you have 5.5 years left till Yovel, so you might say, okay, it's a sela and a pundion per year, so I'm going to have 5 slayim, 5 pundionim, and I'm going to have a half a sela and a half a pundion as well. So 5.5 slayim and 5.5 pundionim. So the Mishnah is telling us, no, it doesn't work that way. If there are any months remaining in the year, so if it's five and a half years remaining, so you're only 6 months through the year, we don't count those 6 months at all, and you have to be poded for 6 years, even though you've already done half of the sixth year has passed. You don't get to deduct a selam pudyum for that, because with Hekdesh, we don't count months. So now the Gemara is asking the question. It's saying, you're telling me that when the Mishnah says v'lo goel and achar yovel pachus mishana, that you're not goel after Yovel, doesn't mean literally right after Yovel in terms of time. It means any time after Yovel, that you don't go in increments less than a year. But what's your point? We learned that in the Mishnah right after this. In other words, if you remember, the Mishnah said, so it said v'lo goel and achar yovel pachus mishana achas. And then it said, "Ein mechashim chadashim lahekdash." So, in other words, it's repeating itself, saying the same thing twice. So, according to you, who's Rav, who's trying to understand, "Vlogol anachar yovel pachas mishana," means you only go in increments of a year. How could that be the Mishnah's point? The Mishnah says that expressly immediately afterwards. So the Gemara answers, Rav would tell you, matam ka'amar. No, it's not repeating itself twice. It's telling you what's the reason. So how do you read it? Matam lagel and lachar yovel pachas mishana achas. In other words, why is it in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says we're not goel when we're dealing at some later point in yovel. We're not goel in an increment of less than a year. Why is that? Mishum de'en mechashon chadashim mehekdesh. Because we don't count months for hekdesh and we only count full years. So the Mishnah is not repeating itself. It's clarifying. It's saying we're not goel less than a year in increments of less than a year because for hekdesh's purposes, we don't count months. Continues the Gemara. Or the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. It's a ein mechashven chadashim. So we say Tan Rabbanan. So we learn in a brisa. Minayin she ein mechashven chadashim in a hekdesh. Where do we get this idea that you can't do half a year and therefore a half a selah and put you? No, no. Why is it you can't? Tam Olomer says the brisa of a chishev lo akoin es hakesef al pishon hashanim anosaros. So it says the pasuk is written that if someone is achar yovel yakdish tadeu. That the on earth, so we don't have a full yovel period that he's redeeming. So it says the Kohen calculates for him the kesef based on the years that remain until the shnasa yovel, until the coming of the yovel. So what do you see from the pasuk? You see shanim atamachashiv yatamachashiv chadashim. So it says that you calculate the amount that's owed based on the number of years that remain. So you see that the increment for purposes of a hekdesh is a year and it's not months. Okay. Minayin shematarotze lasas chadashim lashana osa. So, and how do I know that, and as we said in the Mishnah, that for our purposes with hektish, we don't count for months. But hektish, for its own purposes, could count for months. The language in the Mishnah was, aval hektish mechashiv chadashim. So now the Brice is continuing, and what does it say? That if hektish wants to, make months, it can. So it says, "Hey chidami kigon da akdashay bepalgo da arboin v'tamni." So it says, "What would be the case that if hekdesh is, in other words, if someone is makdish a field and he's poda it?" Tosos points out that he's poda it 48 and a half years into the yovel period. So how much is left? 1.5 years. So we just learned the halacha that we're not mechashiv chadashim. So therefore, how would we treat it if we were coming to this? We would treat it as 2 years because you don't count a half a year. So a year and a half is really 2 years. How much would he have to pay? He would pay 2 selahs and 2 pidyonim, right? But points out the Gemara that, wait a second, Hekdesh, if it wanted to make more money, would have a better cheshbon. What would Hekdesh say? We learned yesterday that Rav and Shmuel Darmi Tavayu, both Rav and Shmuel point out that if it's during the 2 years preceding Yovel that someone is poda a field, then how much should we say he has to pay? He has to pay all 50 slayim. He doesn't get menigra me'arkecha. He doesn't get to reduce and only pay a selah and a pudyon per year. So it's in Hekdesh's interest to say, wait a second, a year and a half is not 2 years, it's a year and a half, and therefore it's less than the 2 year mark, and therefore I should be able to do it. Talmud Lomar v'chishev lo akoin mikol makom. It says the coin should calculate in whichever way is best for a Hekdesh. Interesting machlokas rishonim here about exactly what this means, multiple views. Rashi seems to be of the opinion that you have to, in order Rashi's less clear, but in order the question is, do you say that Hekdesh for sure should treat it as a year and a half left and demand a padia of 50? Or, like the Rambam learned, that Hekdesh has a choice. So now the question is, do they want to let someone redeem it for 2 selah and 2 pinyonim, or do they make him redeem it for 50? That's Hekdesh's choice. Why would Hekdesh choose to take less? Because sometimes you're not helping someone by making, in other words, if you make the price so extreme that for someone to get this field for the next year and a half, they have to pay 50 slayim, they're going to say no. So then Hekdesh is just going to sit on a field and get nothing from it. So according to those Rishonim, they would learn that Hekdesh can make that decision. And it's also interesting because you see that the Gemara doesn't, or the Brisa doesn't pick up the language of the Mishnah, which said that hektish mechashiv chadashim, but rather what does the Brisa say? It says minayim shem atarotze lasos chadashim l'shana osa. Where do I know that if you want to count months, you can? So it seems to be supporting the view of the Rambam that, and maybe that's why it picks a different lashon than the Mishnah to tell you that Hekdesh has a choice based on what its judgment as to what it'll get, because it's better to get two selahs and two pinyonim than to get nothing. But obviously, if there will be people who will pay 50 slayim for it, then Hekdesh should do that and get the maximum amount for Hekdesh. So we're picking up at the Mishnah, the second wide line on Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Hamakdish Sodeh B'Shasa Yovel. So this is a halacha that we've encountered and talked about, but this is the source in the Mishnah, that if someone is Makdish his field in the Yovel year, no saying Bezera Chomer Sa'orim Chamishim Shekel Kasef. So it says as follows, that there is a simple calculation that's applied, and it doesn't matter what the value of the field is. If someone is Makdish his Steachuza, and he wants to redeem it, so it's 50 slayim per zera chomer sa'orim. What is and then we said it gets reduced based on the years. What is a zera chomer sa'orim? It's the area that a chomer of seeds. A chomer is also similar. The Gemara uses the word core, so it's the same thing. A core or a chomer is really 30 sa'. So in other words, it's how large of a field you require in order that you would plant 30 saw of seeds in that area. And that's the amount that's chamishim shekel. So there's a fascinating, the Gaon says something beautiful in Adaras Eliyahu in Chayesara. He points out as follows, that how do we get this whole calculation? Because we know that the Mishkan was 50 by 100. So it was 5,000 square amas. And we know that the area of the Mishkan was such that could be planted 2 saw of, a tusa of seeds. So if tusa of seeds goes in 5,000 amas and 5,000 square amas, and we need 30 saw, so then it's going to be that it's seven. A base core is 75,000 square amas. Says the Gaon that if you would have eight base cores, So if you get to eight base cores, so it's 8 times 75,000 amos, would be 600,000 amos. So says the Gaon as follows, that we know from the Gemara in Ksubas that at Sarah's Levaya, the Hesped, that there were 600,000 people at her Hesped. And we know from the Gemara in Sukkah that, Gavra Ba'am Yasva, that a person takes up one amma of space. So he says as follows, that if Avraham Avinu wanted to buy land for Sarah's Hesped, he was having 600,000 people, he needs 600,000 amas. So he bought 8 base core for how much? Arba mea shekel kesef, 400 shekel kesef. So if you see, if you have 8 base core for 400 shekel kesef, how much are you paying per base core? 50 shkalim. So says the Gaon, that's the same calculation that we're using here, is the calculation that Avraham Avinu used in determining the value of the field with Ephron Achiti. In any event, continues the Mishnah, Hayisham Nikayim Amukim Asar Tvachim Aslaim Gavayim Asar Tvachim Ein Nimdadin Imo. So it says as follows, when we have this field, what happens if in the middle of the field are these little ditches or rocks that come up? So a ditch that's deep Asar Tvachim or rocks that are high Asar Tvachim. So then we say that's not counted in the field. Now what it means not to be counted, big machlokas Rishonim, at least 4 views on that. But in any event, it's not counted in the calculation that we're going to do here. The Rishonim discuss, we talk here about how deep it is, but the question is how wide does this ditch need to be to the point or the rock coming up that you wouldn't count it? So the Rashba learns that it's 4 tvachim. Why? Because we know on Shabbos that if you have something that's 4 tvachim by 10 tvachim tall or deep, then that's considered a separate rishus for rishus ayachid. The Meiri and others would say it's 3 tvachim, presumably because less than 3 tvachim you would consider it as if it's closed. But in any event, that seems to be the Rashba brings that the Yerushalmi brings different views on this as well. In any event, continues the Mishnah, Pachus Mikan, if you have these little ditches or these stone outcroppings that come up, if they're less than 10 tvachim tall, then nimdad and imo, then you just count them in the same calculation when you're figuring out the size of the field. You don't subtract for these stones or these ditches. Hekdesha shtayim u'shol shanim lefnei hayovel. So this is the idea of, which we see from the psukim, that you reduce per number of years. So If someone is makdish or redeems it really 2 or 3 years before the yovel, nosin selo pundyan lashana. He pays a selo and a pundyan per year. We talked about it yesterday. Basically, if you're dividing 50 shekel kesef for 50 slayim by 49 years, so each year it's a selo and a pundyan plus the kalbun. We talked about that one extra pundyan. We talked about that yesterday. V'yamamar. Now what happens? V'yamamar hareni nosin davar shana b'shana ein shomen lo. Ela nosin is kulo ke'achod. So we say as follows, that if someone says, I want to be on an installment plan, there's 10 years left, so I have to pay 10 slayim and 10 pinyonim, so let me pay a sel and a pinyon per year to Hekdesh. So the Mishnah says, no, it doesn't work like that, you have to pay the whole thing at once. Explains the Brisker Rav, what's going on here, is because we're gonna see, as we're gonna talk, if someone was Makdesh his field, right? If he's not poded right away before someone else has poded it, he loses it as a steyachud. It's going to end up going to the Kohanim. We'll deal with that in a little bit. So what's going on here? The guy says, wait a second, I was makdish my field, but I don't want to lose it. So let me start an installment plan with Hekdish. And that's why someone's trying to do that. But says the Mishnah, no, that doesn't work. Continues the Mishnah. Echad bailam v'echad kol adam. That the way most Rishonim understand this, that what this is going back on is saying that this is true, this rate of redemption, 50 shekel or 50 slayim per zera chomer saorim or base core, this is the rate regardless of who's redeeming it, whether it is the owner redeeming it or any other person. In other words, once someone is makdish or steyachuz at the hekdish, regardless of its true value, this is the formula for whoever wants to be podet, whether it's the owner who's going to be podet or it's any other person who's going to be podet. So ma bein bailam lechol adam. So then, what's the difference between an owner and anyone else? Elosha bailam nosin chomesh lechol adam ein nosin chomesh. That when it's the owner who wants to redeem his own field, then he has to add on 1/5. And versus if a regular person is doing it, wouldn't have to add on 1/5. So the formula of the 50 slayim per base core, that's the formula used for everyone. But the owner has to add on a chomesh on top of it. Says the Maral and Gorarye, an interesting thing about where does this idea come from that the owner has to pay an extra chomesh? So the Maral says it's not like some penalty or something. He says it's simply the value of the field. He says why? Because a person, especially when you're dealing with a steyachuza, and this is his ancestral homeland, but even forgetting steyachuza, just regularly, when someone has something, it's valuable to him. So what's the idea? The idea is that when you have to redeem it for value, this field that's mine is worth more to me than it is to someone else. Someone else will say, I don't care, I'll buy this field, I'll buy a different field. For me, I want my own field. So says the Maral, that's just the valuation. It's not a penalty. It's just the valuation. It's worth more to me, this field, than it is to anyone else. So I have to pay more. As the owner, I pay an additional chomesh, whereas another person would not pay it. Says the Gemara, Tana kur zera v'loy kur tvua. So he says, all right, when we talk about, in other words, we say zera chomer sa'orim is talking about not where, in other words, a kur, which we said is 30 saw. So you could think maybe it means a field that I harvest 30 saw worth of crops. So says the Mishnah, no, it's 30 saw worth of seeds. Now obviously, if one seed produces many grains, right? So then it is more, if I was saying that whatever produces 30 saw of grain or crops is what I have to pay 50 shkalim, is going to be way more than if I have to pay for the same 50 shkalim for a much bigger piece of land that it would take to plant 50 saw of seeds. So the Brisa says we're talking seeds, we're not talking crops. Mapolis yad v'lo mapolis shvarim. And when we're talking about it when someone hand seeds it, not when they use it with shvarim. Some Rishonim understand it's a wagon, but Rashi just explains that how would they do this? That they would, in other words, instead of walking around with a big bag of seed, they would take an animal, they would put the seed on the back of the animal, they would cut some holes in the bottom of the bag, and as the animal would go, the seeds would fall out, and they would do it over the plowed field, and this way, the field would get seeded, and the guy doesn't have to schlep the bag. Now, so presumably this is easier on their farmer. The consequence, though, is that more seeds fall out through this process than if you were taking it by hand. If you're taking it by hand, you're more careful. So says the Mishnah, we're talking about Mapolis Yad and not Mapolis Shvarim, and therefore the space that'll get covered by a base core worth of Zera is larger because you're being more careful with how much you're planting. Tan Levi, lo mu'uva v'lo meidak elo beinani. And Levi says, and so we're not talking about a thick planting where you put lots of seeds per square foot or inch or base core, nor is it particularly thin. So if you do a thick, planting, I guess like you have, like they always tell you, you got aeration and overseeding. So that would be thick, like overseeding. So the idea is you're using up more of the seeds in a smaller area. So the person who has to redeem it is getting ripped off in that case. Or medak, if you make it too, you just put a few seeds here and there, you're going to cover a much larger area, and hekdesh is going to get ripped off. Says Levi, elabenani, you use a regular measure, you put the right amount of seeds, you do it by hand, and you do seeds and not crops, and that's how we determine the value. Hayasham nekayim amukim. So we said, if you have these little ditches in the field, that it's not counted. So ask the Gemara, v'likdashu ba'anpe nafshayu. So differences in the Rishon about how they learn it, but let's just go with Rashi's pshat. Rashi's asking a question, says, hold on a second. Okay, so you're telling me you're gonna count these little ditches separately, right? So he says, but you're gonna count them separately, and how much are you gonna charge? You're gonna charge a zerach chomer sa'arim. So he says, so what difference does it make? In other words, why are you going to make it a separate count and then use the same rate of calculation? You may as well just measure them all together. So what's going on here? The Gemara says, v'chitema, maybe you'll tell me, kiven de lo have base kor lo have kachi. So maybe you'll tell me, well, there's a reason. Because since I can, maybe I can only be poda using this formula if it's a full base kor. So if it be less than a base core, I couldn't. So therefore, it's telling me that when I'm measuring this base core, I do or I don't include these ditches makes a difference as to whether I can do pedia redemption at this rate of 50 slayim per base core. So maybe that's why it matters whether you measure them separately. So the Gemara says, no, but Tanya, we learned in a brisa, sada matam lomar, that what does it tell you when it uses the word sada, lufi shenemar, because it says, so the pasuk says, v'im miste achuzaso yaktish ish l'Hashem, that is, if a person from his field of his achuza, he's maktish l'Hashem, v'yayekach l'fizara zera chomer sorim b'chamishim shekel kasef. So this word sada, you don't really need. Rashi points out that you could say, it could have written v'imei achuzaso yaktish ish. Why does that say miste achuzaso yaktish ish? So in other words, what did it add by that word sada? So he says lufish and emer zerach chomer sorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. So since it says that you pay 50 shekel per zerach chomer sorim, ain li elo shehikdash kinyan zeh. Maybe that's only so if you were makdish an area of a base core, 75,000 square amos. That only then you're poded at 50 at 50 shkolim per that area. Minayin l'rabas lesech v'chati lesech saw v'tarkav v'chati tarkav. A lesech is a half of a core, so that's 15 saw. Chati lesech is 7.5 saw. Saw is a single saw. Tarkav is a half of a saw. A chati tarkav is a quarter of a saw. Whatever. If you do some lesser measure, tamalomer stay v'yim mistay achuzaso. Whatever is a field, whether it's a full base core, a half a base core, a quarter base core, doesn't matter. You still use the same formula. So we're left with our question, what is the reason that the Mishnah is distinguishing that this you measure, the ditches you measure separately, if it's the same rate, so just measure them all together. He says, no, what are we talking about when we say you have these ditches? According to Rashi, if it's a regular ditch, that could be cultivated. In fact, you would count it in the same measure. When do we exclude a ditch or a rock is when it's not capable of being planted. For example, if it's filled with water. Now, this is an interesting thing. The Rashba points out that it has to be, and this really is on the Mishnah, but it makes more sense here when we see that we're talking about something that's filled with water. He says it would have to be talking about where this water is not used for irrigation. If it's used for irrigation, then you would count it because it's an integral part of the field. This is important. Why? Because we know that if someone is makdish, a sada, we learn in Bava Basra, that includes a bar and a dos, which are water things. So the question is, why would you count it when he's makdish, but not count it when you redeem it? So we're saying, no, when you redeem it, If it's used for irrigation, for sure it's counted with it. But if it's a maleim, it's in the koyim maleim mayim, that's not bnei zriya, it's not used for irrigation. So then the idea is those are excluded. Why? Because it's zera chomer saorim, the area that you can plant a chomer of zera, and if there's a part of the area that's not plantable, it's not arable, so then obviously it shouldn't be included. It says the Gemara, Dekanami, this also makes sense in our mission, Dekatani Dumya Deslayim. So we learned that these ditches are similar to rocks. So just like rocks can't be planted on because you can't put a seed into rock, so too these ditches that we're talking about are ditches that are not amenable to planting Shemamina. In fact, that is the proof that that's what we're dealing with. So says the Gemara, wait a second, if you're telling me you exclude areas that are ineligible for planting, so then, if so, pachas mikan nami. Then why do you say that if you have a ditch that's 10 amas deep, but if it's less than 10 amas, you count it with it, or if you have a rock that's 10 amas tall, it's excluded, but if it's only 10 tvachim tall, it's excluded, but if it's only 5 tvachim tall, it would be included. But wait a second, that's not plantable either. A 5 tefach rock is no more plantable than a 10 tefach rock. So you should exclude any size rock. Says the Gemara, Hanu Nagani the Ara Mikri, Sidri the Ara Nikri. He says these are called, Nagani is like Rashi says a sefal, like a bowl. But he's saying basically, and Rashi seems to be focusing on how people call it. In other words, they call it the bowls of the ground, or they call the stones the spine of the ground. Rashi said just like the spine comes at the top of an animal, Begova, so too the stones are on the land. They come up, but that's just the spine of the land. So basically Rashi's saying, that's considered part of the land. When you refer to the land, you say, okay, that's the spine of the land. That's the bowls of the land that are filled with water. But in other words, you wouldn't consider them a separate existence from the land. And that's why you refer to them as Sidri Da'ara, Nagani Da'ara. But once it's over 10 tvachim or 10 tvachim deep, then you don't refer to it as part of the land. You refer to it as an independent ditch or an independent stone. And that's the point at which we would exclude it. Continues the Gemara. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Deisha Shtayim Ushalosh. We said if you're redeeming a field 2 or 3 years before the end before the end of the Yovel cycle, you'll pay a sela and pinyon per year. Two years before would be 2 selas and 2 pinyonim or 3. So says the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. We say Tanu Rabbanan v'nigra me'akecha. That you should reduce from the erech, from the value that you give this field, each year you reduce it by a sela and a pudyon. So says the Braisa, af mina hektish. This is true even from hektish, she'im achla hektish, shana oshtayim, inami lo achla el shaisa lefanov, nosin sela o pudyon l'shana. So what we're saying is as follows, you might think, and then maybe I'll just read it again afterwards, but let me explain it. You might think that maybe if I 25 years into the Yovel cycle and makdish something to Hekdish, so fine, I then set the value at 25 that I have to redeem it, but I have to ultimately redeem from Hekdish at the value I gave it to Hekdish. So the Gemara says, the Braisa says, no, he says, even while it's in Hekdish, the Nigra Me'akricha keeps ticking down. Every year it goes down, a sela and a pudyon, even if it was in Hektish's possession, and says the Braisa, even if Hektish did nothing with it. So Hektish got zero benefit. So I was makdish it to Hektish 25 years in. So at that point, the redemption price will be 25 salim and 25 punyonim. Hektish gets no value from it. 5 years later, I redeem it. I don't have to redeem it at 25 sela and punyonim. I can redeem it at 20 sela and 20 pinyonim, because the clock continues to tick during Hektish. So that's what we say, Shemachla Hektish Shana Shtayim, that if Hektish had it for a year or two, Inami Lo Achla El Shai Selefanav, or Hektish really didn't do anything with it. So Hektish didn't get any monetary benefit, nonetheless, Nosin Selo Punyon Lashana, which we learn from Vinigra Me'erkecha, that it ticks down, it doesn't matter whether Hektish got real benefit from it or not. Says the Gemara, V'im Amar Hareini Nosin, so this is the guy who wanted to give the installment plan. So we talked about this in the Mishnah, Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Minayin Shem Omru Bailam Hareini Nosin Dover Shana B'Shana Shein Shomun Lahem. So how do I know that if it's interesting, because here, you know, here we say the Bailam, that if the Bailam say it, so that references what I said before with the Brisker Rav. But in any event, if the buyer says, let me pay you a sell and put you per year on an installment plan, we don't let him do it. Shane Shomon Lehem, we don't listen to do that. Talmud Lomer, therefore it says, V'chishev lo ha-koin es ha-kesef, ashiye kesef kulo ke-echod. That you count, the coin calculates es ha-kesef, the money, and then you have to pay the whole thing, ashiye kesef kulo ke-echod, that you pay the ha-kesef, the money, in one flat payment. You can't do an installment plan. The Brisa continues really just quoting our Mishnah, Echad Bailam, Echad Kol Adam, that this redemption is so, whether it's the owner who's redeeming it or any other person, Ma Ben Bailam L'Kol Adam, what's the difference between the Bailam and any other person? Sha Bailam Nosen Chomesh, V'Kol Adam Ein Nosen Chomesh, that the owner, when he's redeeming a Stei Achuza, on top of the Selah and Pundyon, has to pay an extra fifth, and which is really a fourth, because it's Chomesh Movar, but whereas a regular person would not need to do that. Says the Mishnah, five lines from the bottom, Chof Hei Omid Aleph. Hekdesha v'gala eina yotza miyada b'yovel. That, you want to have a Chomesh handy? Layakar. Okay. Alright, so just to, I'll read the Pesukim in a minute if someone has it. So we're now talking about, what happens when someone is makdish a Stei Achuza. Thank you very much. So the Pesukim at end of Vayikra in Bechukosai talk about all these halachas, and we say as follows. So it says that if someone is makdish a Stei Achuza, so it says you calculate this thing, how many years are left, and Nigra Me'akacha says the pasuk Yotesvim Gal Yigalas Asada Hamakdish also, that if the person who is makdish it is Gal the field v'yosaf chamishis kesef erkacha love kamlo. So this is what we just said, that he pays the extra chomish and it's his. So in other words, basically if someone's makdish a field and then they're poded from hekdish, it stays in their possession. V'imlo Yigalas Asada. And if he does not redeem the field via machers asada liish acher, and if Hekdesh sells the field to someone else before he was goel it, too bad, lo yigoel od, he can no longer redeem it, and he loses his steachuza, it's gone from his possession. V'haya asada, so then the question is, what happens? Hekdesh sold it to someone for whatever amount they sold it, but when it comes to the yovel, it's gonna go back, it's gonna go somewhere. It doesn't stay with that guy. He only paid a selam pudyun per remaining year. So where does it go? Says the pasuk, v'yovel kodesh l'Hashem, that the sada, when it goes out from yovel, from whoever bought it, is kodesh l'Hashem, kistei acherim, that it's like a sada that's a acherim, like kohen tiach, who's also goes to the kohanim. So that's the basic idea. We talked about this a little bit yesterday when we talked about whether the kohanim have to pay or not, which is the Mishnah we're gonna learn now. But this is what the Torah says. Basically, if someone's makdish a Stei Achuza, he should immediately be goel it if he can, because if anyone else is goel it, it's gone from him, it's no longer a Stei Achuza, and instead of coming back to him at Yovel, it's gonna go to the Kohanim, and it's gonna be lost. So, he has that chance to be goel it, but if someone jumps ahead of him, then too late, it's gone. So says the Mishnah, Hakdesh v'goela, eini yotza miyada b'yovel. That if someone is makdish a field, and he's goel it. So like the pasuk says, the come low, it goes to him. It doesn't go to anyone else. Yovel doesn't go to the Kohanim. Goel abino, yotze la'aved b'yovel. This is an interesting halacha, which we're going to explore a little bit in the Gemara, that a son is kind of like his father. So if the son is the one who's poded, he doesn't get to keep it, but his father gets to keep it. So in other words, it's not lost. So even though it's someone other than the father who's poded, nonetheless, it stays in the family and it stays as a Stei Achuza. Goel acher o echad me'akrovim. So if it's just some stranger, or even if it's some relative who's not a son, then v'gala miyado, and they took it. And then the father or the man who was makdish it. So one of his relatives or some stranger bought it from Hekdesh, and then the father or the makdish buys it from whoever bought it. And all right, so Reuven was makdish a field. Hekdesh sold it to Shimon. Reuven went to Shimon and said, "Let me buy the field." So now he repurchased his Stei Achuza, and according to the Girsa we have in our Mishnah, Yotze LeKohanim BeYovel. That still goes to the Kohanim in Yovel. Maybe we'll deal with it tomorrow, but the Shita discusses a different Girsa, which is I think the Rambam has that Girsa, the Ramban, the Shita says, has this Girsa, says that it does not go to the Kohanim in Yovel, which is obviously diametrically opposite Psak. But the way we have it, Rashi's Girsa and our Gemara's Girsa is, too bad. At the end of the day, when Reuven was makdish the field, so it goes to Hekdesh. Hekdesh is selling to Shimon what? He's selling the difference between the point at which Shimon is redeeming it and the end of Yovel. So he's paying a selim putnim per year. So all Shimon bought was the right to use it till Yovel. So if Reuven now goes to Shimon in an off-market transaction and says, I want to buy back my field that Hekdesh sold you, he can buy it, but he'll only get what Shimon has to sell him, which is the remaining year till Yovel. It doesn't return to him to be a Steachuza, and it'll go out to the Kohanim in Yovel. That's the way our Girsa, the Girsa of our Gemara and our Mishnah is. Okay. Okay. Gala Echad Men HaKohanim V'Harei Tachas Yodo. What happens if a Kohen was the guy who bought the Steachuza from Hekdesh? So now, the owner is never getting it back. So what's going to happen? At Yovel, it's supposed to go to the Kohanim. Lo yomar ho v'hi yotza l'kohanim b'yovel v'harei hi tachas yado harei hi shali. So he says the Kohen can't say, look, anyway, what's going to happen at Yovel? It's going to go to the Kohanim. But I'm already the one who has it, so I'll keep it. Which, by the way, we see that halacha by other matnas kuhuna, that if the Kohen is the one who ends up with it, then he can end up just keeping it, and he could say, I have it already. Presumably, the difference here is that we're going to see that really what happens to this field is it gets divided. In other words, truma, any coin can get the whole truma. So if he has it already, he says, okay, it's mine. But in this case, we're going to see that the field gets divided amongst the Kohanim and the Mishmar. So he's only supposed to get a little portion. So he can't make this claim. Says the Mishnah, he can try saying it should go to me, but it's not true. That it goes out from under his hand and it gets split between all his brothers, the Kohanim. Now who's it talking about? It's not talking about all Kohanim. It gets split between the Mishmar that happens to be working that year during the Yovel year. So, and when does this happen? Rashi is going to learn that it's going to be on Yom Kippur, because that's when the fields get released. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur gets divided to the Kohanim. So it's an interesting thing. If you're that Mishmar who by Yovel happens to be the Mishmar at that time, you get this tremendous bonus, because all of a sudden all the Steachuzas that went to Hekdesh and didn't get redeemed come to these Kohanim and they get to split it. So luck of the draw. Okay, continues Amud Beis, the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan. We learn as follows. Im lo yigal es hasada. So this is interesting, Bryce. It's like kind of identifying all the players in a pasuk here. The pasuk says that if he is not goal the sada, who's that talking about? Bilam. If the owner is not goal the sada, then via machra es hasada, and if the field got sold by Hekdesh, so who's that? Gizbar, the treasurer of Hekdesh. Leish acher, and he says he sold the field to some other man. Laacher velo leben. So says the Braisa, when we're referring to it sold to a different person, it's talking about a stranger or some other relative, but not a son. This is the halacha we learned in the Mishnah, that if the son is the one who redeemed it, then it stays in the family as a steachuza, and it's not lost and go to the Kohanim. So says the Braisa, ata omer la'acher v'lo leben. So you learned that when it says that it's sold to an acher, it excludes a ben, because a ben, it's not lost when it's sold to a son. He says, how do you know that it should be that the son who's an exception to the rule, and maybe it should be the brother? Because the pasuk doesn't say, we're going to see in a second, says the Braisa, Kishu Omer Ish, when it says a man, so this is the pasuk, the pasuk says, V'yemachar esasada le'ish acher, it's sold to a different man, not just le'acher, hare'ach omer. So a brother is included in that, in the ish. And so therefore, when it says ish acher, it includes a brother. So when a brother redeems the field, it's still lost as a steachuza. It's only the son who's like the father that it stays in the family. So what are we dealing with? We're dealing with two words. Ish includes someone. So we're saying it includes anyone, including a brother. And acher excludes someone, ish acher, but it excludes a son. So the question is, we have one inclusive word, ish, we have one exclusive word, acher, and we're saying acher is the son, ish is a brother. So we say, ha mani mekayim acher. So he says, mani mekayim acher velo leben. So it's saying, when it says acher, it's excluding the son, and when it says ish, it's including the brother. So therefore, the son is an exception to the rule, but the brother is not. So ask the Gemara, Ma Rabbi says, Ben al Hotzias Ach. So he says, well, one second. In other words, you have a brother who's close to a father, and you have a son who's close to a father. So you just have one word that includes someone and one word that excludes someone. How do you know to exclude the son and include the brother? Maybe you should exclude the brother and include the son and say that only a brother who's poda his brother's field doesn't stay in the family. So the Gemara says, no, because a son has a greater connection to being the replacement of his father. Because if you're thinking about what's happening here, it's saying if the father's not goalit, there's one other person who can be goalit, and it says if the father did it, makes more sense that the son, because we see that the son steps into the shoes of the father in two instances. Marba ani aben, I include the son, shekein kam tachas aviv li'ido ule'evet ivri. So there's two areas where a son steps into the shoes of the father. One is Yud, and one is Eved Ivri. What's the halacha of Yud? Yud, we know that if an Amma Ivriya is sold to a master when she's a katana, and so let's say she's sold and she has 6 years remaining, 3 years have passed, you know, someone could be gall her for $300, or if the owner wants to marry her, or even if the son of the owner wants to marry her, so then without having to give any kesef of kiddushin, they can be makdish her with the remaining value. In other words, there's $300 remaining. They can, so the son can just decide, I'm going to marry this lebno yiadena, that if the son says, I'm going to marry her, he doesn't have to give her any kesef of kiddushin, and that's a valid marriage. So what do you see? That the father can marry the amma that he bought, or the son can do it. And then the pasuk says, "Shlosh alila yaselah." If they haven't done any of this, then she goes free when she becomes a nara. But in any event, you see that a son steps into the shoes of the father. Similarly with Eved Ivri, that we know the halacha is that an Eved Ivri serves for 6 years. If the master dies, so then it depends. If the son is the one who's if the son is alive and he's Yorish's father, so then the Eved Ivri has to serve the son. But let's say there's no son and no daughters, and it goes to the brother, or even to the daughters. What happens then is that, that the Eved Ivri goes free. So if there's no son and the assets go to the brother, it goes free. So you see that a son steps into the shoes of his father, both in the ability to do yiud and in the ability to keep an Eved Ivri. So you see that a son is like his father. Says the Gemara, Adrabba, Marbani is an achsha, king come, tachas achiv li'ibom. So he says, the Gemara says, wait a minute. Maybe instead of saying that a son steps into the shoes of a father, because you see by Yud and Eved Ivri, what about the fact that a brother steps into the shoes of the brother when he does Yibum to his wife if there's no children? So what do you see? And says to people, the Mepharshim discuss, what's the Havamina? That the brother, and there's, why should Yibum be closer than a son? So we say, because v'kam tachas achiv ameis, that's the function of Yibum, is that he steps into the shoes of his brother and he keeps his name alive. So maybe you would think that it should be the brother. So the Gemara says, Klum yesh Yibum ela b'makom shein ben, ha yesh ben ein Yibum. He says, no, if I'm choosing between a son and a brother, the son is obviously more close, because the son can do Yud and have it every, in any case. A brother can only do Yibum if there's no son around. But if a son is around, there isn't even a halach of Yibum, because Yibum only applies when the guy had no children. So you see that a son is a greater connection than the brother through Yibum, because Yibum wouldn't even happen if there's a son there. So it says the Gemara, wait a second. What happened here? I told you there's two ways a son is like a father, and one way that a son is, that a brother is like his brother. So why did you have to tell me this cheshbin that a son is stronger because Yibum only applies when the son's not around? Just tell me that there's two ways the son is like a father, and only one way that a brother is like the father. So therefore, it should be that. But typically, the halachatartiv halachachad, to say that here there's two and here there's one. So we say, Mishum, the Eved Ivri may hai pircha nami hu de nafkile. Klum yesh Yibum ela b'makom shein ben. So he says as follows. He says, no, in the Havamina, the Gemara was treating it as follows. You have Yud and Eved Ivri, which are two ways in which a son steps in. And you have Yibum, which is a way that the brother steps in. So I would say two is more than one. But says the Gemara, no, really what you have is you have one and one, and then you have two uncertainties. So what's it saying? What is, for sure a son does Yud. The Torah is very clear about that. Vim libno yiadena. For sure a brother does Yibum. So they're each similar. One is, the son is similar to his father, brother similar to his brother. But the question is, we have two areas. One is Eved Ivri, and one is Stei Achuza, where we have one inclusive term and one exclusive term. And the question is, which do you apply to a brother? So the way we determined Eved Ivri, the Gemara in Kedushin figures this out, is the same thing. It says, well, should I apply the halacha that the Eved doesn't go out, should I apply it to a brother or to a son? And the cheshbon that they make is that, is there such a thing as Yibum if the son is around? So it must be the son is stronger. So it's not like you had two and one. You had one and one. You had Yod and you had Yibum. You had two uncertainties, so you need to come onto this argument to say that the son is stronger than a brother because you see that there is no Yibum when the son is around. Once we know that the son is stronger than a brother, so we figure out both by Eved Ivri and by Stei Achuza, that who is it that steps into the shoes of the father to be able to keep the Eved Ivri, or to be able to be Goel, the Stei Achuza, that's a son, not a brother. Ask the Gemara, Bari Rabba Bar Avua. Rabba Bar Avua asked the following question. Bas Mahu Shetamit Stei Asad La Avia. So we say, what about if a man was Makdish a field, and he was not Goel it, but his daughter bought it from Hekdish. So do we say, Kivin Delenian Yibum Ben Ubas Kia Dadi Patri Mukma? So maybe I'll tell you that this is good, that the father should be able to keep it in his field. Why? Because you see that both a son and daughter, if a man has either a son or daughter, there's no Yibum. And we're going to say that therefore she should be a valid party to be able to redeem it. And then it stays within the family. Or Delmar, maybe you say, Kivin Delenian Nachla Bas Makum Ben Ki Acher Damya. That maybe since by inheritance you see that a daughter is irrelevant, meaning if there's a son there, the daughter doesn't matter, the daughter doesn't get any of the nachla, it's only if the son isn't there. So then lo mukma, so maybe she would not establish to maintain the field, the Stei Achuza, within the father's possession. So it says the Gemara, Tashma, come in here to Tanan Beir Rishmol, because we learned in Tanan Beir Rishmol, Kolshu Acher b'makom ben v'ha nami b'makom ben ki acher damya. So we say that the measure is that anyone who would be considered an acher where there's a son is excluded, and so we're saying is included in ish acher. So we're saying here that when the son is present, the daughter is irrelevant. Meaning, because if the son is there, the daughter gets no element of Yerusha. So therefore. Therefore, it shows us that a daughter is not a factor for purposes of this, and she's treated as an acher. She's treated as ish acher, and as ish really included, and therefore she would not save the. So if Reuven was makdish the field to Hekdish, and Hekdish sold it to Reuven's daughter, at the end of at Yovel, the field will go to the Kohanim and will not go back to Reuven. Okay, says the Gemara. Boy Rebzera. Rebzera asked the following question. Isha Mimamad La Sada. So it said, who is it that if a woman is makdish a field, she's makdish some of her lug possessions. So we say who is it that can be her one, her plus one, the person who can redeem aside from her? Do we say Baal Mukim La Shekein Yarsha? Maybe it should be the husband, because the husband, as Rashi points out, is Yorish, his wife, even if a son is around. So maybe it should be the husband who's the one, the other one who can redeem the field. Odoma ben mukam la shekein nota baroy kibamochsek. Maybe I'll tell you that it's the son who should do it, because you see that a son has a greater power of Yerusha of his mother. If he's the one who's Yoresh, if, for example, his mother's not married, not only is he Yoresh the things that are in her possession at that time, but he's also Yoresh the Roi, the things that are going to come later. So you see, versus a husband only gets the muchzik, he doesn't get the roi. So you see that a son is somewhat stronger than a husband in inheritance of a woman. So who is this woman's plus one who can be pulled to the field and it stays in the family? Is it the husband or is it the son? Says the Gemara, take who we don't know. Okay, boy minei Rami Bar Chama Rav Chista. Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chista, Hekdesha pachas mishtei shanim lefnei yovel ma'u shetetze lekohanim. So he says, let me ask you a question. What happens if someone was poda a field with a year left to Hekdesh, let's say, does it go out to the Kohanim? So he buys the field, and the question is, does it go out to the Kohanim? Now, the Gemara is going to say, Amalei Madai Tichol, what's the reason you would think that? Because the Pasuk of this whole parsha says, V'nigra me'arkecho, that you reduce the field, the cost, so that it's a sell and pudyum by every year. And then it says, and the sada goes out of Yovel to the Kohanim. So therefore, I'm going to say, the baski roin in, the la baski roin low. So I would tell you, maybe that it's only when a field is subject to reduction by a selam punyan every year that the halacha of going to the kohanim applies. But maybe if someone is poda a field, let's think about this. Remember, we've said this, that if someone's poda a field a year before Hekdesh, how much does he pay? 50 slayim. So since Giron Kesef is not applying in that transaction, then just like Giron Kesef, which is written in the earlier pasuk, does not apply 2 years before Yovel, then maybe also it going out to Kohanim doesn't apply 2 years before Yovel. So Gemara says, that's your thought, Adarabba, Imlo Yigal Asada, Vahaya Asada Peteso Yovel, Vahay Nami Baskulahi. He says the Pasuk, actually, which is much closer, it's the Pasuk immediately before the one that talks about going to the Kohanim. It says, Imlo Yigal Asada, if the Sada is not redeemed, it doesn't talk about whether it's redeemed for less than the cost or the cost, and it says the Sada goes out to Yovel, go to the Kohanim, Vahay Nami Baskulahi, this field that had Geula a year before Yovel was still redeemed, and therefore the next pasuk which says a field that was not redeemed by the owner and redeemed by someone else goes to the Kohanim, so continues to go to Kohanim even if it was done less than 2 years before Yovel. Gola Echad Min HaKohanim. So we said as follows, Tanur Rabbanon. So this is the source for the idea that a Kohen can't say, I'm the one who gets it. LeKohen Tia Achuzaso. It says that the Kohen, this is the pasuk. It says, V'haya Asada B'tzeis B'Yovel L'Kodesh Hashem K'stei Acherim LaKohen Tia Achuzaso. So it could have just said, LaKohen Tia. It should go to the Kohen. Why does it say LeKohen Tia Achuzaso? So Ma Tamalomer, what is it telling you, this word achuzaso? So we say as follows, minayin l'sada shiyot to the konim biyovel v'gola echad me'akonim. So if I have this case where someone, that if you have a coin, a field that's going out to the kohanim in the yovel, meaning that, and someone was makdash a field, and the kohen was someone who was goel it, how do I know minayin shalo yomer ho v'yot to the kohen hari tachas yod v'teisha li? So he says, how do I know that I can't make the cheshbon? The Kohen's going to say, well, look, since I'm in possession of it now and it's going to go to Kohanim anyway, let me take it. This was the case in the Mishnah. And now the Braisa adds a kal v'chomer that he makes, v'dinhu, and he says as follows, b'shalachei mani zoche, that when I'm part of the Mishmar, Rashi in Baba Kama says expressly, when I'm part of the Mishmar that's going to get it, so then I get a piece of the field, even though I'm not the owner of the field. Meaning if Reuven sold to Shimon, at Yovel, Shimon releases the field, it goes to the Kohanim, and this guy's gonna get a little piece. So he says, from a field I don't own, I get some of it, but shall ask me, lo kol shekein, then the field I currently own, cause I bought it from Hekdesh, shouldn't I get the whole thing? Talmud Lomar, therefore it says, achuzasa, achuzah shalo, vein zeh shalo. So it says that the pasuk says, lekoin tia achuzaso, even though really that means that the Kohen should have the achuza of the guy who was makdash and not goel it. The way we're reading is the Kohen ti achuzasa, that the Kohen should get his own achuza, what comes from his father, but what comes to him, in other words, what comes to him by virtue of inheritance from his father he has, but what comes to him by virtue of being a Kohen that at the end of Yovel gets split amongst the Kohanim, that he does not get anything more than his brothers, the Kohanim, and he has to be part of the division. He doesn't get to keep it, even though he's currently the owner for this period of time. How is that? Yotze mitachas yodom is chalakas lechav akonim. It goes out from his hand, and it gets split among the Kohanim. Okay, we'll end there.